Now, Coleman Oughter, child and adolescent psychotherapist, joins us today, and we decided we would concentrate on exams. It's less than 2 weeks to the state exams, junior cert and leaving cert, and the house exams are going on all over the country. And with that comes stress, not only for the people who are doing them, but also for the people who are around them. Good afternoon, Coleman.
Afternoon, Ray.
All that's factually correct, isn't it?
It is 100%, yeah. Yeah.
What's the name of that that thing that's in the Olympics that we love? It's a sort of an ice thing, and you slide the thing and then somebody runs in front of it with a brush.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what's it called?
Curling.
Curling. And they described, you know, the lead up to a state exam as curling, because you're sort of the person who's doing the exam is the thing on the ice, and then you're running in front of them just making sure nothing gets in their way and everything's fine and everything runs smoothly.
Yeah. Yeah. The snowplow parent, I suppose.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah. So what can we do?
I think there's very little we can do to remove the anxiety, because it is a rite of passage. You know, there's almost a part, certainly leaving certain things like that. There's no way of getting rid of that anxiety. You're just trying to sit with somebody during an anxious period. You know what I mean? For them, this is a big deal.
Okay, so as a parent, would you say this is stressful?
Oh, 100%.
Yes, we know it's 100%. Stressful. Yes.
Yeah. And like, these are non-avoidables. Like, this is happening in 2 weeks' time, whether you like it or not. And the young person has built this up over the last number of years, probably. They have heard all they've had the nightmares. They've heard all the teachers banging the desks and telling them that this is everything in it. And so they're carrying all of that at the moment. And so your job is to kind of accompany them in the mud rather than trying to clear the snow out of the way.
And you're not saying that this doesn't exist, because it does. It's real, yes.
Yeah. And I guess when someone is going through something like that, we sometimes underestimate the benefit of a companion, or someone who's got your back, or someone who's in your corner. Unfortunately, I think sometimes as parents, we get that wrong by moving it into kind of maybe nagging and pressure, and you're not doing enough. And we see that, like, it's helpful advice, air quotes, inverted commas, but it's just not helpful at this time. Like, again, you know, when should I start to support my child with their leaving cert? Probably 6 months ago.
You're right, you know? Yeah. But definitely now.
But at this point, you know, this
nagging is not, that's too late for that.
That ship has sailed. But yes. I think from the point of view of trying to support them, and again, it's something about, like, when someone's doing a leaving cert, as you say, the whole house is affected by it. Everyone's on eggshells and everyone has to be quiet, and they get to not have to bring out the bins, and everyone gives out about them. But that's right. That's benefit. You can't help them study, but you can help them create the environment where they can. And that's as much as we can do. It is the offers of the cups of tea. It's the, how are you getting on? Are you okay? And not, how are you getting on in terms of what workload you're getting through, but how are you getting on with managing that?
Creating a sort of a quiet space for them that's inducive to studying.
Yeah, and I like the idea conducive of the parent being kind of the steady presence, you know, that when there's all the hysteria going on, because they will hit points where they'll get really upset, or something's not going in, or they're finding, and it is about being the steady presence in that moment.
And what about fears that they might articulate? You know, I don't know enough. I'm so stressed. I'm going to blank. You know, these are all real fears, aren't they?
Yeah, and again, when the old nervous system is highly aroused, you start to, like, you can't remember things, and you think, gosh, I only read that yesterday and I can't remember a paragraph of it. It's just funny how the brain works. The brain works very much like a computer almost in some respects. So you save it under a file, and, you know, if you're frantically looking for that document and you're putting in the wrong name of the document, you'll start to panic. Yeah. It's about taking a breath, taking a step back and trusting the process. Like, you've done a lot of work up to this point. For the last 2 years, you've been covering leaving cert cycle content. That's going in. And it's very much almost like you're borrowing from sports psychology. You know what I mean? When, you know, Johnny Sexton's standing over that kick, he remembers every one that he got over the bar, not to think about the one that you missed. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So the parents are there. Like, every person who's anxious, anxiety makes us do two things. It makes us overestimate the challenge and underestimate our own ability.
And that's important. You've said that before, and that's hugely important.
It's so basic, but it's so important. And And what your job is when somebody's highly anxious is to put the challenge in perspective. And it's not about saying, because they don't get anything from, you know, all this celebrity things. I didn't do well in my Leaving Cert. Look at me now. That means nothing to Leaving Cert students. They don't take much from that. But, or saying this is no big deal won't make them feel any better either. But saying this is a big deal, but it's not life and death, and you will get through this and we'll get through it. No matter what the outcome, we're still going to be here to fix it or amend it or celebrate it or whatever the outcome is. And so putting the challenge in perspective is just not kind of feeding into the hysteria around it. Okay. And then re-establishing their own sense of their own ability. And that's reminding them of all the good stuff that they've done, yeah, that they're able to do. You're so
the good results that they've got in the past.
You're good in a crisis. Yes. Do you remember that time when that was going on? You were the one that found the keys or whatever it might be. Yeah. And almost you just resettle them into that sort of...
So let's get into specifics then. So say the day before. Now, we were told, this is a long time ago, obviously, that on the night before, that the last thing you should do was try to cram. And there was even suggestions, and I think I took this advice, of going to the cinema.
Right.
I know you laugh. Is that not a good idea? No.
No, I wouldn't.
Not a good idea. Okay, I did okay. No,
but I think the issue with most of those very highly conscientious, diligent students is when they're not doing something, they're forced not to do it. They get incredibly anxious that they're not doing it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. They feel guilty.
In the cinema, biting your nails.
Yes.
But what I would do is definitely have a cut-off point where you're going to say, I'm going to close the books at 8:30 and I'm not going to do it after that. And after that time, it's really trying to engage and wind down and do whatever it is that you do to decompress that stuff.
And now that you mention that, I'd say that is a problem in some households, in some families, that the parents feel that their children are doing too much, that they're doing 9 or 10 or 12 hours of study a day, and that is too much.
No, it is. And I always struggle with parents who come and say, I can't get them to study. And they equally struggle with the ones who say, I can't get them to stop.
What is the advice there?
Again, it's limited in what we can do other than trying to, like, the ones who can't stop, it's really important that they understand the physiologies of the brain. Like, the brain is a muscle. So from the point of view, if you're weight training and lifting weights every day and you don't have a rest day, the muscle's not going to have the chance to grow back. So we talk about the brain being a sponge. It has to release to absorb. Do you know what I mean? And so you're almost saying that those rest days are strategically important, selling them in a way that this is going to enhance your performance on the day rather than saying, I'm going to prohibit you from studying for the next hour.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So that they can see almost a purpose behind the rest periods.
And what if your son or daughter comes to you and it's one day out or 2 days out from the junior cert, the leaving cert or the house exams, and they say, yeah, I won't be able to sleep tonight. I'm too stressed.
Yeah, I would say that's probably par for the course. Like, nobody I've ever met slept well the night before the leaving cert, right? And while I certainly wouldn't be
jumping... In a way, that's great, knowing that and sort of surrendering to the fact that you may not sleep well probably will increase your chances of sleeping.
Yeah, well, I'd say if any leaving cert student is listening and they can't sleep the night before, just know that everyone else is in the same boat. You know what I mean? And there's comfort in that a little bit. But what I would say is once that first exam is over, the stress reduces about 70%. You know, once they have the first, they've gone in, they've done the paper, they've survived it. It's amazing how calm everything becomes for that person. So the second night, they'll sleep fine. Do you know what I mean? But I certainly wouldn't be rushing down any pharmacological routes to try and get you to sleep, like rescue remedies or any of these herbal stuff. Trying to maybe listen to, you know, some sort of relaxing app of some description. Progressive relaxation is lovely. You know, tense your feet, relax, your ankles, relax.
Just to try and work your way up through your body. Just tell people about that.
So what you do is it's very simple. You lie on your back and you just get yourself comfortable and you squeeze your toes as tight as you can and then you relax them. And you're concentrating on the relaxation of the energy leaving the muscle. Then your whole foot, you crunch really hard as tight as you can for about 10 seconds and then relax. And then your ankle, your calf, you're all the way up to the top of your body and all the way back down.
Yeah.
And what it basically does is it's almost like resetting the central nervous system.
Right.
So to concentrate on tension, but more so concentrating on the relaxing. It's deep breathing.
And what about the breathing? Yeah, breathing works as well, doesn't it?
I was always very cynical of breathing. I've really bought into it recently recent years. There's definitely something in that.
And like, it's so straightforward, you know?
Yeah, and it's more than just take a deep breath, but it's very simply, like almost, it's like, do you know when your computer's getting glitchy and you do the control alt delete end task and then it goes again and all of a sudden it's fine? Your breathing is almost the same. It's a very simply really deep breath in for four and out for seven or eight, and it's concentrating on out. And as you're going out, you're resetting.
The out is the important one.
Oh yeah, and box breathing is the color. So in and out for longer, in and out for longer, and doing that just a couple of times. Look at all the rugby teams, the Irish rugby team behind. If they concede a score, they gather around in a circle, and you'll see them all doing box breathing in for. In for four, out for seven, to try and reset. And it, again, say for example, if a paper doesn't go well and you're really upset about it and you're thinking it might throw you for the week, again, borrowing from sports psychology, next moment focused. You put that behind you. You can worry about that after the game. Like when the game is over, we can talk about what you did wrong. But for the rest of the game, we have to concentrate on what's next moment focused. And so you don't want that to throw all the exams.
Yes, and just in the exam, if what we spoke about earlier becomes reality and you do feel like you're gone blank,
mm-hmm.
does breathing help then?
100%, right. Yeah, breathing. And also taking a moment to just, you know, as a read the paper question, yes. You know, and it's such an important thing to do. But if you read it and it makes no sense, take a breath, think about something else, just take your head out of it for 10, 15, 20 seconds and reapproach it again, reading it line by line. Do you know what I mean? So again, it's like looking for the file in your computer. You can't go, oh my God, did I not save that? Da, da, da. And the more panicked you are banging on those
keys,
the
less likely you are to access it.
The less likely you are to say, what did I call that thing again? Yeah. Was it ray.doc or whatever it was? No, it was darcy.doc. And there it is there. And then bang, it opens and it's all there. So when you're freezing, it's not that you don't know the stuff. It's just you're struggling to access it.
All very sound advice. Thanks so much, Colman Ochter, and good luck, in case we forget to say it, to everybody sitting house exams at the moment and looking to 2 weeks' time to the state exams of the Junior Cert and the Leaving Cert. Thanks, Colman. That's it from us. Your event, sorry. Oh, yeah. Quick mention of that. Quick, go on, sorry.
Yeah, fundraiser event next Thursday in Tyndall College in Carlow for Michael Davitt's Fela, my son's Fela football team. Talk on Disconnect and Reconnect, so a mental health talk, 8 o'clock. Tickets on Eventbrite if you want them.
Sorry about that.
Not at all.
Now, Sarah and Cormac are on Drive Time. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.